We know what that music means. Hey guys, it's Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, and I'm recording show number 209. You have downloaded show 209. I'm recording this on Sunday, January 21st, 2007, from up here in Seattle, Washington. Thank you for taking the time to download the show. Hopefully you'll find it worthwhile, entertaining, and somewhat amusing and informative. I want to start off by thanking you for all of your great feedback. I posted something up on the blog over at majornelson.com. Which is where I blog regularly, for those of you that don't know. But I have a blog post up there which asked, where is it? It asked basically for your feedback on Xbox Live and, you know, the future of Xbox Live. And I've got over 1,000 comments. It is by far the most commented blog post I've ever made. And this was this is a follow-up to a post from Ozymandias, who is also works on the Xbox team. And Andre, who runs that blog, he and I were talking, and he made the post. And I'm like, you know what? Let's have that discussion. I usually make a post like this maybe once every 6 or 8 months, just looking for feedback, because it's always great to know what you guys are thinking. And believe it or not, a lot of what you have placed on that list, we've already been thinking about, or have been thinking about, or we want to do. I'm not saying that we're going to do it, but I'm saying, yeah, this is exactly the kind of stuff that we're also looking to do. So, if you have a chance, go ahead and take a look at that post. I think you'll enjoy it. Of course, some of the comments are always amusing, but that's up there. And again, we've got over 1,000 comments, and I'm just checking, looking at the numbers, 20, 30, probably about 40,000 to 50,000 views on that. On that page alone. So, you know, just a small percentage of you have made comments. So thank you for that feedback. That's great stuff. Let's see what else we have here. Actually, a lot of people are asking about a friends list increase. And I've said this before, and I'd like to say it one more time, is that, you know, we have actual numbers. We know how big, you know, what the average number of friends on a friends list is. And you'd be surprised. It's way less than 100. In fact, it's way less than 50. I can't give you the exact number, but it's less than half that as well. So, but that's so. When people talk about increasing friend lists, I mean, my friends list is maxed out all the time. I got people sending me invites. You know, I need to go through and clear that off. There's some people on there that I need to take off. I'm not going to say who they are, but I need to take some people off there. And so hopefully it'll be opening up, and you can send me a friends request. And I do play with a lot of people on my friends list. You know, whenever I'm looking for a game to get into, I kind of go up and down my friends list and say, what are they playing? Oh, it looks interesting. And if I can, and, you know, because sometimes you can join the game, join session in progress, I go ahead and I do that. Also, speaking of messages or you know, Xbox Live, and when you're sending me messages, specifically voice messages, first of all, text is better. Don't send any links to forum conversations anywhere, because I'm not going to look at them, because usually I look on the console. And I'm not, you know, there's no way to click a link on the console, which will open up the conversation of, well, that's why we should have a web browser major. You know, and also I love the guys that send voicemail messages. Yo, Nelson, yo. You know, I get quite a few of those, and those are always fun to delete. You know, I saw this over at news.com, but apparently there's a new movie coming out called Chasing Ghosts. And Chasing Ghosts is a documentary on the American arcade phenomenon of the 80s. I'm looking for that for more details on that, but I picked that up over at news.com. So you guys should go over and take a look at that. I'll put the link up on the blog. There's some photos up there which really don't do it justice. But that'd be interesting to see. Obviously, Chasing Ghosts is, you know, a Pac-Man reference for those of you who are a little, you know, in the back of the class. But there's some great photos up there from the 80s. You know, there's this Life magazine photo of a bunch of teenagers on this Main Street USA someplace with a bunch of cheerleaders. And there's just some great photos in there. So anyway, Chasing Ghosts, I'm going to look for more details on that one. Apparently it was at Sundance. So I, you know, we need more video games like that, or more movies about video games, don't we? I mean, really, good ones. Let me rephrase that. Good ones. All right, moving right along here, we've got, Gear sold over 3 million copies, but you knew that, right? I know it's been getting a lot of pickup in the mainstream press over the past few days, but I actually tipped you guys off on this, wow, was it like a week and a half ago? So you knew about that, but the official announcement is out now. Let's see. Oh, you know, this is interesting. One of my favorite newspapers is, and when I say favorite, I'm going to use that in quotes because it's kind of a crazy newspaper, is this newspaper called the New York Times. Or excuse me, I love the New York Times as well. But for the other side of my brain, I read the New York Post. And the New York Post is, it's crazy headlines and so on and so forth. But they have a new gaming blog up, and I'll put a link to that. It's at blogs.nypost.com/PGR. And it's Post Game Report, not Project Gotham Racing. But anyway, so it's an interesting blog, and I love going up to the New York Post. The New York Post is always famous for their sensational headlines, and kind of, you know, they're not sensational compared to what you guys got over there in the UK or in London, but it's pretty sensational for North America. So that's fun. I must stop down and take an opportunity to tell you about my favorite headline. My favorite headline of the New York Post, and I don't remember where it was, or excuse me, when it ran, but it was Headless Man Found in Topless Bar. Just love that headline, because there's comedy about that. Let's see what else. So we're talking about Gears selling 3 million copies, Headless Man Found in Topless Bar. You know what else I can talk about is coming out next week is... Arcade. So I want to talk about what the arcade pieces are for next week. And that is there's some Luminous expansion packs. But what's interesting is, so next week there's going to be a couple of packs coming out. And those will be out on Wednesday, as usual, Wednesday the 24th. And two of the add-on packs are going to be available for a promotional price from January 24th to February 21st. And one of them is going to be free for gold members. So there's a month there where you're actually going to be able to get the content for free. So details, when I get more details, I'll post the moment those become available on Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon, depending upon where you are. But I'll be posting that. So I want to make sure you guys are aware of that. And then on Tuesday, more importantly, on Tuesday, Tuesday is when Crackdown arrives. And I know a lot of people are very excited about Crackdown. There were some issues, and it wasn't able to be posted on last week when some people were talking about it. And this gets back to when I don't like to give dates, and I went ahead and gave this date because I talked to everybody involved, and everyone kind of nodded their heads and said, yeah, this is when it's going to go out. So that's why I felt comfortable giving the date. But you'll notice that when there was a previous date announced, I didn't say anything because I wasn't sure about it, if you get my drift. Actually, it will be coming out this Tuesday, and that will be at about 0200 Pacific time. And I'll put a link on the blog as well when that goes live. But I know people are very excited about Crackdown. I have played about 5 minutes of the first level. Let me give you a little hint about the way things work here. So in my office at Microsoft, at the Xbox headquarters, I have a Samsung 23-inch screen that I bought. Maybe 24. Anyway, I think I have this 23 or 26 inch LCD flat panel in my office with my little rig, and I've got my Xbox on it, and I've got my Xbox 360, my original Xbox, my dev kits for both, and they're all hooked into all these high speed connections. And basically, as I get games in, I leave them up, and people just drift in and out of my office and play the latest games. And sometimes I put a little sign that says what it is, or just so people when they walk in. And no, I'm never logged in under Major Nelson because, sometimes I'm playing pre-release versions of the games, or at least I've got it on. I don't like to play them, but people will come in and play them. So I was watching Paul Bunyan, who is the head of Xbox Live. He was playing the first few minutes of Crackdown, and it's a lot of fun. There's some fun dynamics in there, and boy, can you jump in that game, huh? Wow! So that's kind of, I want to give you a little background of how that works. So Paul Bunyan came in, and he kind of looked at it, and I don't think he likes sandbox games. So E, what's wrong with you? Why don't you like those games? So I'm really excited to get the multiplayer. I have not played any multiplayer, so I can't comment on any of the multiplayer, but if it's like, last week I had Dave Jones on from that team, and if it's anything like he was describing, it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're interested in more Crackdown, take a listen to the interview I did with Dave Jones last week's show, and that will be good for you. And, one of the demos that went out this past week, boy, I'm just all over the place, is, was it Battle Station Midway? And I got to tell you something, I really like that game. I was very, very impressed with the game. I was playing the multiplayer demo with that's up available on Xbox Live right now for gold members, Battle Station Midway. And I was really impressed with kind of the fit and finish. You know, all what you can control. It's a real strategy game. So you're, you know, controlling your boats, your airplanes, and apparently submarines. Although I never was able to do that because I got my ass kicked so hard. But that's a fun game. So go ahead and download that. And I want to talk about the gold member thing for a minute. A lot of folks ask for information about that. Generally speaking, demos are available to gold members first. And when I say first, usually by about a week. So, you know, silver members will eventually get them, you know, a week later. So when I post things, you have to remember that, that it will become available for silver members about a week later. So if you're interested in getting getting content early, then you should probably sign up for a gold membership. So Battle Stations Midway, the multiplayer demo is up on Xbox Live Marketplace. Give that a download. Give it some time. Play around with the controls. Unfortunately, you can't set up a game by yourself and kind of play around with it. You need to go into a multiplayer game. But, you know, go into a game and kind of play with the controls. The controls can be fairly confusing when you're in a boat and all of a sudden you need to put more men on deck as opposed to on the bridge, as opposed to on the artillery, versus when you're building ships and taking, sending attack orders to your squadron. So there's a lot of elements to this, and it's a lot of fun, and it's pretty cool. Never got to drive a submarine, so I apologize. Can't give you any details on that. All right, so we got Battle Station Midway demos up, Crackdown demos coming. What did I play this week? Played a lot of Lost Planet. Experimented with the multiplayer of Lost Planet, and some of those mechs are way cool. Tycho and I from Penny Arcade, he's kind of my multiplayer tester. He and I will jump on and kind of play some things and see what it brings. And he and I had a really good time with that one. He was like, oh my god, look at the modeling, and he was really excited about some of that stuff, and rightfully so. The game in some respects is really just beautiful. Just beautiful. So I need to get into some large multiplayer games to really really have fun with it. One of the maps I really liked had dynamic lighting, which was this water map where you can actually go under the water. You know, it's on the kind of on a beach, and it's funny thinking of beach when everything's covered in snow. But the other map that I really liked was this huge expansive map with like a high parts of a broken down highway, but there's dynamic weather, so all of a sudden, you know, there'll be a whiteout. What I really liked about this one, I was playing a multiplayer game, and somebody was chasing me in a mech, and I didn't have enough energy, and I couldn't find a mech. So I actually dug my way into a mound of snow and hid in there while he went trudging by. So that was kind of cool. So Lost Planet, that's the multiplayer. I think I'm at level 3 or 4 in the single player, and I'm going to try to do some more of that today after I finish my show. That one actually... I'm kind of starting to enjoy it. It's starting to grow on me. So I'm going to try to go ahead and cook along on that for a little bit. So that's kind of what I'm playing and what's going on. But I can't wait for Crackdown. That is just going to be a lot of fun. And unfortunately, I won't be able to. So it comes out on Tuesday. I will be gone. I'm leaving. So just to let you guys know, I will be no show next week. I'm going to mention this a couple times, but there is no show next week. I'm going to be leaving on Tuesday. And I'll be gone for about a week. I'm going down to Florida to see my family, so I won't be able to do a show. I may be posting on the blog here and there, as you know when you go visit family and they kind of drive you crazy, and you're like, I got to get away from it, and I'm going to go do something. So when you see me posting, it's probably because you know my family's driving me crazy. So I'm going to be down there and posting very lightly. I'll try to I'll post all the details about the about Crackdown and the arcade stuff, but some of the other stuff probably won't get around to doing, but that's kind of the update there. Here's something that's really interesting, is there's a new e-zine out, and I have to mention this thing because I was so excited when I saw this yesterday. It's called 360 Zine. And it's available over, and I'll put the link on the blog, but it's over at gamerzines.com/360zine. Or if you just go to gamerzines.com, you'll see that it's there. And I got to tell you, this is, I put a link on the blog last night. I was going to save it for, just to talk about it in the show. But I was so excited about it because I downloaded it, and it was just phenomenal. You guys did a great, great job over there. I mean, the quality of this thing, there's an interactive quiz for Fable 2, which is one of the features. You guys did a fantastic job. I'm very, very impressed, and it's free. So how great is that it's free? So these guys did a great job with it. Dave Taylor, actually, who's the publishing director over there, came over to the blog and posted on my blog. So Dave, thanks for coming over. Great job. When do we get to do an interview? Maybe I can interview you or you can interview me. Either way, go download 360zines. Go to 360, I'm sorry, go to gamerzines.com and download the 360 zine, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So there's also a PC gamer zine, and there's some more other ones coming soon. So give those a try. Well worth it. They are free, so I think you'll enjoy those. All right, one of the things that happened this week in the gaming space is Call of Duty 3. Call of Duty 3 came out with some new maps, and then they went away because they found a problem. So I was able to, earlier today, I was able to reach out and get someone on the show. Dan Bunting, who's the multiplayer producer, wanted to come on the show and talk about, A, the maps, but more importantly, what happened to the maps and when can we expect them. So here's the interview I did with Dan Bunting just a few minutes ago about the multiplayer maps. All right, on the line with me today is Dan Bunting, who's the Call of Duty 3 multiplayer producer. Dan, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I want to talk about the map pack that was released this week and then, well, mysteriously went away, but you'll tell me about that at the end. But let's start off by talking about the map pack and what it is and how it fits into the scheme of Call of Duty 3.
Well, we're releasing five new maps, each of these maps is unique and actually quite different from the maps that ship with the game. We wanted to really kind of get back to a feel of classic Call of Duty infantry action. So we spent a lot of time designing the map and kind of looking at some of the lessons that we learned throughout development with the earlier map. And we really wanted to polish these up and focus on the gameplay. And another good thing about them is that they're exclusively for Xbox 360. So we've got all kinds of next gen polish on them, and they look really stunning.
Cool. So you talked about some of the lessons that you learned after you shipped the game a couple of months ago. What are some of those lessons that you learned? Was it fan feedback? Was it from the community? How do you go through that process?
Yeah, it's everything. I mean, we read the forums. We played online with the gamers extensively. I mean, not just me, but our level designers have played and taken feedback from everybody. And I read feedback all the time. A lot of people have wanted an alternative to the wide open spaces. We wanted to try something new with keeping wide open spaces and having 24 players. It's just a bigger kind of mayhem type of field gameplay. So for the new maps, we've gone back to tightening up some of the player pathways, constraining some of the lines of sight, and making some more unique combat interactions in different areas. So in that respect, I think that people are going to feel it's a lot more like classic Call of Duty.
Right.
In terms of lessons learned, I think that it's just a growing process, and we've controlled spawn point placement a lot better. We've, like I said, controlled lines of sight and created some more intricate player pathways and that type of thing.
How many maps are there in the pack, and how much is the pack?
Well, there's six maps total. The first map we are giving away for free, and the map pack for purchase has five maps in it.
Five maps. And what you want to, can you walk through each of those maps just real quickly for me in terms of what they're called and the layout?
Sure. The first map is called The Crossing, and that is very loosely based on the single-player campaign mission of the island. It's got the same look and feel of it, but it's kind of like in the single-player campaign, it was raining. This is almost like the dawn after the rain type of feel. And structurally, it's designed around a bottleneck in the middle of the map. And on each side of the bridge is the Axis fortification, which is set up in some trenches and bunkers and that type of thing. And on the other side of the river, the other side of the bridge is the Allied kind of point of attack, where it's more based around farms and kind of destroyed rural houses and that type of thing.
All right. What's the next one?
The next one's called Wildwood, and it is it's a mountaintop listening post, which is very kind of organic, natural feeling. A lot of trees, a lot of overgrowth, tall grass, wildflowers, that type of thing. And it's based around these 5 points, five listening posts that have kind of guard towers, sniper towers at each of these points. And then in between is a bunch of trees and terrain and hilly area.
And that
one's great actually for tanks and motorcycles.
Right.
It's the most vehicle based map that we have.
Okay. All right. So that's number two. Let's move on to three.
Three, we have a map called Ironclad, which is has a very heavy industrial feel to it. It's kind of reminiscent of some of the Russian multiplayer maps in COD 1 and COD 2. Sort of like a feeling of like Stalingrad, but without the snow. Has a lot of red brick buildings, a lot of debris, pipes, catwalks, broken up train cars. It's set in an oceanfront shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really incredible map.
All right, and then we got number four.
That number four is called La Borgade, and La Borgade is it's a large rural French village. It's just kind of framed by a lot of houses, and there's a town square area in the middle.
Is there a lot of close up action in this one, like some of the other French maps, like from COD2?
Definitely. It's a lot of kind of winding in between houses and through interiors of houses and that type of thing.
Cool. All right, and then the final map.
The final map is called Stalag 23, which is a remake of the original POW camp from COD 1.
A classic.
And called the United Offensive.
Sure. So, you obviously have a lot of maps that you want to design, and you're going through the process of designing that. How do you, as the multiplayer designer, give direction to the actual designers who are doing the map? What do you look for, and how do you start from the ground up? Do you just pull a sheet of paper out and start sketching something out, or how does this work? Let me walk us through the process a little bit.
Well, each designer is different. Each designer has a different approach. Some of them like to just start thinking about the map in 3D space, and they like to just start building it. Some of them like to do kind of a top-down sketch first. We typically let them, have the freedom to come up with their own concepts, and they'll present that to us, and we'll go through an iterative process that way. But we just give them some basic guidance. Like in this case, it was that we wanted to allow a more dynamic space in terms of game sizes. So we wanted to be able to give players an alternative if they want to play small games versus large games. We also said that we wanted to try to create a more classic Call of Duty feel. The map, and everyone's huge fans of the franchise, with them all been playing it since the beginning. So, all the designers were incredibly excited to work on this project. And, some of them, for the ships game, we had 2 to 3 specific multiplayer level designers. And for the map pack, we've added several more from the single player team. So there's a bunch of guys who kind of just gotten their feet wet working on multiplayer maps for this game.
So I assume it's an iterative process. You're going through and you play the map maybe, and you're like, we need to move that rail car over there, move that mountain over there. I'm sure it's probably an iterative process as you guys are going through.
Oh yeah, it's incredibly iterative. But typically we start with reference photos, and we'll get a bunch of reference photos. We'll sometimes do some mood shots where one of the artists will take a reference photo and paint it up in Photoshop. To establish the mood and the architecture and the look. And then the most important part is kind of the player pathways and doing a top-down diagram of how the players move through the space. And we have our game mode War, which is kind of the forefront game mode of Call of Duty 3.
Mm-hmm.
So we typically design the map for that game mode first because it has the most specific design requirements. And then we look at how the spawn points are going to work, look at how each of these objectives is placed in the world and how players interact with that. And we move that around and kind of rearrange the map based on that. And then we go back and work in the other game modes and make sure that they're all set up and working properly within the same kind of design.
Now, one of the things we were talking before is that you also work on multi-platform multiplayer. So do you design maps differently for different platforms, whether it's because the power of the console or the power of the PC, or is there a different person on each? How do you guys look at it that way?
Well, for the ships game, we definitely had to keep in mind the fact that we're developing maps for PlayStation 2 and for Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Xbox One. So the design considerations in terms of that are that, you know, you have to basically cut the maps up a little bit more in a specific way,
mm-hmm.
so that it works on both current gen and next gen. On the new maps, the map pack, like I said before, they're only going to be on the 360. So
did that kind of help you out, and you can kind of just kind of take your, you know, you didn't have to deal with any of the legacy stuff?
Oh, absolutely. It's all, you know, the entire map gets to be loaded into memory all at once for next gen, as opposed to having to stream zones.
Right.
Which makes the designer's job a lot easier in terms of building the map on a day-to-day basis. And that also helps to get them really excited about it. Most of these guys were really stoked to be on this project for the map packs.
And then, you know, obviously the map packs, the map design is one part of the puzzle. The other part of the puzzle is the actual, you know, the matchmaking experience, what the lobby is like, what the host can do, how mm-hmm. you get from game to game. How do you look at that, you know, on the Xbox 360 versus maybe some other platforms?
Well, you know, the Xbox 360 is, that's the console that I play at home, so it's definitely a platform that I enjoy working on. You know, it has a lot of control in terms of what you can do with matchmaking. You know, Microsoft makes it pretty easy for us to do the matchmaking aspect of things. So, you know, we design the lobbies around kind of the true skill and how Microsoft sets up their matchmaking.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of what particularly we do with that, and you know, it's basically based on rank and
sure,
and that type of thing.
So before we wrap it up in just a moment, I want to ask you, because I ask everyone, what's your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is Axis of Evil.
Wow. That's a great gamer tag.
It kind of started as a joke because it's like, you know, it's done in leet speak, and, you know, I'm in my early 30s now, and I definitely have no place to be using leet speak. So it was kind of, you know, it was kind of set up as a joke back a couple of years ago, and it just stuck with me, so I haven't been able to change it.
it's not a bad one.
Yeah.
So the maps, you know, the maps packs that we've been talking about for the past 10 minutes or so, they were released, and then you kind of found a problem. Tell me what happened, and when can we expect them back?
Well, like I've posted on the forums, we're still working through this, working very close with Microsoft, and they've been incredibly helpful in the process. You know, I'm continuing to update the forums as soon as we find out new information. We should have a good idea on Monday to give to the community about what the steps are going to be moving forward. You know, it came down to the very final testing stage. You know, people wonder, well, why didn't you test the maps? Why didn't you do all the, well, we test, you have to believe me, I said, we test everything from day one. You know, from the very first day that we have assets in the game, we built the map pack, content package, and we're testing it on in our dev environment. But, you know, the very, very, very last stage is that the assets get encrypted into the final process, and it was just something with the encryption that has caused the difficulties and conflicts. But, like I said, we're working through this. I think we're going to have some positive information to give on Monday.
Good. So, yeah, I'll actually put a link up on the blog and on this show directly to that, to the forum, so that people can track what's going on. And like I say, I'm confident you guys will get that fixed. You're very responsive to the community. That's got to be really, you know, because as somebody who has an ongoing dialogue with the community myself, it's kind of a fascinating part of dynamic of doing the business, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost a full-time job in itself. And I wish that I could spend more time there. But it's just, you know, my day, if you were to sit there with a camera and follow me around, you would just see that it's completely maddening.
Right.
You know, I get pulled in 50 different directions at one time. And so if there were more time I could spend with the community, I would definitely do it. But yeah, it's interesting. We read the forums and you get such a broad range of opinions. It's kind of hard to filter it down and decipher what's real and what's not. So,
yeah,
I try to communicate with private messages back and forth with specific people who talk about specific things too and get some feedback that way.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, message boards and blogs on the internet are an interesting beast, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, definitely so.
So, you know, besides COD3, what are some of the other games that you're playing and that you're looking forward to?
I try to play every game that's related to first-person shooters or third-person action. I'm a huge fan of first-person shooters ever since, Doom came out. And, I played Team Fortress on the PC religiously for about 3 years. So right now I'm playing, Gears of War, obviously, and Rainbow Six Vegas. Big fan of Rainbow Six Vegas. It's
yeah.
A lot of fun. I try to play our game as much as I can. I mean, that throughout development, we always said that we're making this game because we want to play it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of times when you get these industry veterans who've been doing it for years and years and years, they just get tired of making their game. I mean, they don't want to play their game after they're done because they've been making it for a year or 2 years or 3 years or whatever.
Right.
But for us, there was always motivation to play the game because we loved it. I mean, throughout development, we would get in with the testers and just play games with them constantly. I've also been playing some Splinter Cell Double Agent, all the popular ones right now.
Yeah, all the big names. And what about arcade?
Well, I've actually, probably kind of embarrassing, but I've been playing a lot of Uno.
No, it's not embarrassing at all. It's one of the top, I think it's in the top 10 of Live this week on a regular basis. It's one of those casual,
yeah,
relaxing games that you can sit home, play it, and have the controller in your hand and kind of look away and do email or watch, do something else. All of a sudden, oh, it's your turn. So it's a totally different type of game.
And, my fiance and I can play it together and fight over who gets to man the controller.
Right. And, of course, then you have your vision camera and it becomes a totally different type of fun.
Right. I haven't picked one of those up yet, but I'm going to have to.
You're going to need to get one of those. So, all right, Dan Bunting, you're the producer of Call of Duty 3 Multiplayer. I appreciate you kind of coming on, telling us a little bit about the map pack and where it is and what's going on. Do you have any final thoughts?
I'd just like to, let the community know that we are definitely hard at work on this and to keep posted for more updates. Our team, I feel like our team's one of the most talented teams in the industry, and they've really accomplished a lot with this game in a short amount of time on lots of platforms. So, we're working as hard as we can to get this out there to you guys. And, to us, it's a motivator. We want to get the new content out to people and have them enjoy it. So that's about it.
Dan, one more question. What can we look at for the future of expandable content on Marketplace?
In terms of this game or future games?
This game for now.
I can't really talk about it that much, but we're looking at some additional content, and I can't really talk about it yet. But,
that's fine.
Just keep stay tuned, and we'll have announcements soon.
Dan, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right, Dan, thanks for coming on the show, and I know you're hard at work and making sure everything works fine and getting it working. I mean, if you're listening to the show after, say, Monday or Tuesday, this issue is probably already resolved, so just move along. Hopefully you'll enjoy the interview anyway. Okay, so we're on to the, last week I did this whole concept of first, second, and third act, where the first act is kind of where I deliver news. Second act is the our interviews, and in this case I have one interview this week. And then in the third act is kind of just me rambling on about cool gadgets and kind of other random stuff coming on in the coming up here. And then, of course, I have named the game, but I'll do that in just a minute. Why don't we just bang that out right now? Because I haven't done it. This will be the first one of 2007. So I want to thank everybody that emailed me. And so here is the name of the game clip from last week. Yeah, you knew what that was. That was, of course, Star Trek Legacy. Star Trek Legacy. So thank you, everybody that emailed me in and got it correct. You're all winners in my mind. But what I do is I take all the correct entries, put them into a pile, pull out a winner, And let's see, the winner for this week, his gamer tag is Mr. Squish. Mr. Squish, congratulations. You grabbed yourself a Plantronics Major Nelson headset, limited edition style. I'll be in touch with you how to claim your prize. And we get ready for another Name the Game. So here's the Name the Game for this week. All right, you know the drill. If you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com. In the subject line, please put Name the Game, colon, and your guess. In the body, put your gamer tag if you have one and where you're from, which is optional. So good luck to everybody who's going to be entering the Name the Game, the longest-running contest game show that I have on my show. So I don't know what I'm saying. All right. The other section that I do that I've started doing recently is this area called Xbox 101. And Xbox 101 is really for all the folks out there that that are new to Xbox 360 and really don't really understand all the power that your little box has and all the cool little tricks that it may or may be able to do. So I want to bring this up to you. This one's actually a little different one. This one is regarding connectivity. A lot of people are on Xbox Live. You know, you're connecting up to your home router, and sometimes you get into a game where maybe somebody can't hear you or you can't hear somebody. Or there's general weirdness, or, oh, I can't join a friend, or my friend can't join me, or whatever, whatever, whatever. Here's what you need to know, is we run a very, very intensive program here for approving routers for Xbox Live. Now, obviously, any router will work with Xbox Live to a certain degree, meaning you'll get connected, and you'll probably get your friends list and send and receive messages. But what we do is we have a special program that it's called the Xbox Live Compatible Program, and it checks routers, wireless bridges, and gateways to make sure that when you're connected to Xbox Live that you won't have any problems. Sure, you can go through and open up ports and so on and so forth, or take your Xbox 360 and put it in the DMZ. But sometimes all DMZs are not created equal, that I have learned from my networking gurus. So what we do is we work with the manufacturers, you know, D-Link and Linksys and Netgear and all the rest of those guys. And it's an optional program. They send us their hardware, and we test it. It's free of charge. And then we help them get their routers approved so that they will work with our service. So that's what I want to make sure that everyone understands, is this is a free service that we provide to router manufacturers. And they just need to send it to us, and then, of course, we work with them very closely to make sure that they understand where the issues are. But we test them so that I think it's like up to four Xboxes can be behind a single router and connect to Xbox Live and can all play each other and so forth. So 9 times out of 10, if you can't connect to Live, or if you're having an issue with Live, or you can't maybe play with a friend, or your friend can't join your game, it's probably because he or she does not have an Xbox Live compatible router, or maybe you both don't. So I highly recommend you go up to Xbox.com, and I'll put a link up on the blog to this to check out, to make sure that your router is compatible with Xbox Live. Now, I also must point out that it's not just the routers, but it's actually the firmware. So not only is it the model number, but you got to make sure that the right firmware supports Xbox Live, or that it's Xbox Live compatible. So there you go. That's Xbox 101 for this week. You know, I just realized I kind of need like an audio intro and out to that, you know, dun dun dun, Xbox 101, and then, you know, when I'm done with it. So, got any ideas for Xbox 101, let me know. All right, let's see, some stuff coming up this week, Geeks and Gadgets section. You know, Vista's shipping soon, which I'm running on a couple of my laptops on my desktop, and it's working well. This is where I cue the part for the people to talk about OS X, but we're not going to do that. So Vista's shipping, finally. And I was thinking about gaming, you know, games on Windows and, you know, games for Vista, which is a huge, huge deal now. Are you guys interested in that? Because I think I'm going to get somebody on from the Games for Windows team when I come back from being away. So let me know about that. I think it'll be interesting to talk to those guys, because really games are games, and that's really what it's all about. So let's see. So Games for Windows. Also, you know, I this is kind of the geeky section of it. I got another phone. What do I have here? I got the Samsung Blackjack. The Samsung Blackjack is a phone that I'm going to be taking with me down to Florida. Hopefully it'll work well. I tethered it to Vista, and it worked phenomenally. So very fast, 3G style. So I'm really excited about that. Also, I need somebody in Europe to help me out. As you may or may not know, we've had a lot of snow here in the Northwest over the past couple weeks. It's since melted, but it's been kind of crazy weather. And I was looking for something for my car, and you know, normally get car chains and so forth, but I found this fascinating device on the internet called Auto Socks. But they're not available anywhere else. They're not available outside of Europe. So I'm trying to find somebody who can get a hand on those things for me. So if you can get your hand on some Auto Socks, let me know. I'll put a link on the blog to that. All right, I'm going to wrap it up here. I know this show is not as long as my normal ones, but there's a lot of reasons for that. One of which is I got a lot to do. As I mentioned, I'm going to be away for the next week or so, traveling down to see some family. So I need to pack for that. And so I kind of need to get focused on that. Plus, my wife is coming home, so I want to wrap up the show so I can spend some time with her. So, all right, I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net. They provide MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment. I also want to thank our friends at CashFly for their excellent caching services. They're partly responsible for you getting this show and many more like it when you want it, where you want it, how you want it, if that makes any sense. So anyway, thanks to CashFly and Centricom.net. Again, as I said just a moment ago, there's no show next week, so you'll be off, so you'll find something to do. Hopefully you can fill some time with the Crackdown demo and some other things. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading the show. Have fun and play fair. Send feedback or file a complaint, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Yeah, so I'm coming down to Central Florida, so I'll be there next week. Mom lives north of Daytona, so I'll be hanging up in that area. That ought to be fun up there. So I don't even know. So I'll be stopping into some of the GameStops down there. So drop me an email if you're in that area so I can come by. Hey, speaking of that, my mom, of all people, is looking for a DS. So if you got a beat on a DS in the Daytona area, drop me a line. I want to talk about a link that I put at the show last week. So last week I put a link to a show, and I'm actually dropping it in right now. For you guys to listen to. But I put a link in the show that I buried at the very end of the after show, this special secret section. And I need to provide because Kotaku picked up on it, and I need to provide a little bit of background. I interviewed some of the at CES there were some girls Gone Wild girls, and you probably saw the photos up on the blog. And these girls were there to promote a Girls Gone Wild licensed video recorder. Yeah, that doesn't sound dangerous, does it? So I decided I grabbed Craig, who's my camera guy, and we went over and we interviewed them. And these girls were dumb, nice girls, but just not the brightest bulbs in the chandelier. And so I put that up on Soapbox, and a couple of people discovered it, but then Kotaku discovered it and picked it up. So get a chance, go over and check that out. But here's a little clue: if you really want to piss Trixie off, email her and tell her that those girls should be in Gamer Chicks. Okay? That's all I'm going to tell you. Okay, so I'm gonna go pack up now and get my things ready to go down to FLA. I'll be, like I say, I'll be online and offline for a little bit this week. Won't be playing any Xbox, unfortunately, since I don't have one down there, unless I can get my mom to buy one. So that's all. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. The COD 3 maps will be out. Really excited about Crackdown. I hope you are too. I think you'll really like it. From what I saw and what I played, it looks looks fantastic. And next week when I do the, or in 2 weeks when I do a regular show, I'll have a couple of, you know, I have a couple of great interviews lined up, like I talked about. I think I'll do games for Windows, and I'll see what else I can hustle up as well. But I want to thank you guys, because without you guys, this show would not be what it is, and I appreciate all the positive and negative feedback that you provide. Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.